So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And Mendoza takes the snap, wants to throw it, fires it down the field. It's for Elijah Serrano. He makes the catch! Touchdown! Elijah Serrano, 17-yard pick for a TD. And Indiana's back on top.
And Indiana would win the Big Ten. Wow, thank you to Indiana Radio. 13-10 is the final score. Still kind of hard to wrap your brain around, even though Indiana's been excellent, Pearl, all year long. They were excellent last year, Kurt Cignetti's first year with the program. But with Fernando Mendoza, who wrapped up the Heisman most likely with that performance on Saturday night, and it was close. I mean, Ohio State's kicker kicks a field goal and makes it. We got a tie game, and then who knows what happens. But you know, Indiana deserves all the flowers, like how they have turned this around. They've never won the Big Ten before. You know, they haven't been this competitive since the 60s. It's just, it's nuts what they're able to do, yeah, even in a down year for the Big Ten.
Right, right. But this means nothing. That game was an exhibition game. Can we agree on that?
To them, it did. I mean, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. And as someone who was sitting on my couch watching it, I get it. But then I'm looking at how choked up and how exuberant they all were. It looked to me like Ohio State was trying. I did think that they were. They didn't mail it in.
Both teams were hitting.
But I'll give you this. College football has a conference championship problem. No doubt about that, because the committee with the final rankings dropped some teams that lost, but not Alabama, who had already basically gotten credit for beating Georgia once this year, but now got credit for getting blown out by Georgia, which I don't understand, because BYU certainly did not get credit for getting blown out by Texas Tech.
Yeah, I mean, but at the end of the day, because we're in this 12-team playoff, does it really matter?
It mattered to BYU.
Oh, okay, sorry, I thought you were talking about it. I was looking at the Indiana-Ohio State play, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I mean, the problem is you're not going to get consistency with this 12 teams no matter what you do. Like, honestly, can you pick apart one little decision here and one little decision there?
Yes. Yeah. But they all kind of...
Because it's not dominoes. Just the conference championship game. It's all sorts of other little things that are impossible to add together and make one coherent piece out of.
Yeah, but it feels like the committee is doing a particularly bad job on this. And maybe it's because they are doing a weekly television show. Because while Indiana had the best win of the weekend, no doubt, the big headline here is Miami and Notre Dame flipping at the last minute because BYU lost to Texas Tech and that dropped them out of the top 12. So now Miami and Notre Dame were literally back to back with each other in the rankings. And that's when the committee, who had not been factoring in head to head at all, suddenly had to factor it in.
Right. They did give a warning the week before that they might do that.
Yeah, but still, like, then they had Notre Dame for 7 weeks were ranked ahead of Miami. So I'm no Notre Dame apologist, but I can understand why the fan base, the team, the players are suddenly very upset about this. Like, you're being led one way, and then the rug gets pulled out from you right at the last minute.
It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking.
I mean,
it's nonsensical. I mean, right. Miami would have also felt heartbroken, too, just to be clear. Both teams were in a really hard position there. It's a shame that you had to pit them against each other like this. But I understand the head-to-head argument. I understand Notre Dame's argument, too. It was an impossible situation. But honestly, I think there are other teams that both Miami and Notre Dame probably could have been in over anyway. The problem is the unbalanced scheduling. Notre Dame, with this weird ACC schedule, kind of brought it upon themselves. You can't play Purdue, NC State, Maryland, and Navy, and Army. And at some point, you're going to have to look at that schedule and say, I hate to say this, you might even want to be in a conference, but next year they have a rule where they get in no matter what. Did you see that rule?
I did. Yeah. So there's a proposal that, and I guess they've agreed to it, that if Notre Dame is ranked in the top 12, then they automatically get a spot. So they're ranked 11th right now, but they don't get in because the group of five got Tulane and James Madison both into the bracket. So the 10th spot was the only at-large bid, the last at-large bid that was available, and in the 11th hour, it goes to Miami into the Hurricanes. Mo, I hope I'm explaining that in a way that people understand. Next year, if Notre Dame is ranked in the top 12, Pearl, they're saying they automatically get in. And I don't love that, by the way. Because now it feels like we're doing the other thing. We're bending over backwards to get Notre Dame in. Now, here's the thing about Notre Dame. You mentioned the schedule. It's not very good. But they do try to compensate for that by scheduling tough teams at the beginning of the season, which they consistently do. So this year played Miami and then played Texas A&M back-to-back, but they lost both of those games.
Right. But if you were in a conference, say you were in the Big Ten or SEC, you might run it, probably not in the Big Ten, but you might run into five hard games instead of two hard games.
Yeah, and listen, Nick Saban had an interesting take yesterday on a couple different things, but one is that how come like some teams are being judged on one set of criteria and other teams are being judged on another set of criteria? And I think he was doing this kind of to back Alabama and to kind of throw a little cold water on Tulane and James Madison. But his point, I guess, remains. My biggest beefs with the committee were this. I did feel a little bad for Notre Dame, which has never happened to me before in my life. I've never felt bad for Notre Dame ever, but I don't actively root against them, but I'm not like an enthusiast necessarily. But I did feel bad for those guys because all of a sudden the season's just over when you've been led to believe you're going to be in the bracket. And then they decline out of the bowl game. So now for some of these seniors who are never going to play again, like that's it.
Yeah,
your college career is now totally over. And like, let's be honest, even with programs like Notre Dame, most people are going pro in something other than sports, if we remember that old tagline. So that's it. Career's over. So that I feel a little bad about. I think Alabama, again, college has a conference championship problem. I don't know if Alabama should be in this bracket, Pearl. They have not played well in the last month. They got boat raced by Georgia, steamrolled, maybe not boat raced because the final score wasn't like 50-0.
Right.
But they've lost two of the last three SEC teams that they played against. They needed every minute basically to beat Auburn. And they also have that bad loss to FSU to start the season. I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do.
Are you making the BYU argument here or are you making a Miami-Notre Dame argument against Alabama? Who would you put in?
Well, kind of. Well, that's what I'm wondering because like every other team who lost a conference championship got dinged for it except for Bama. Why?
So wait, but who would you, if you dropped them out, is that to make room for Notre Dame or to make room for BYU?
I want to say BYU.
Yeah.
Because I don't, but again, if I'm going to make the case for BYU shouldn't get dinged for losing a conference championship game, then I just made the case for Alabama. So I guess it has to be Notre Dame.
I guess just to take a quick observation,
yeah,
they picked the teams that had like some of the highest peaks throughout the season. I don't think Notre Dame, as far as their schedule goes and peaking goes,
yeah,
they had a higher peak than Alabama or even a Miami at a certain point this year. So maybe that played a role in the selection process.
Yeah, probably. and the fact that...
No. There is no logic.
What do you mean there's no logic?
There's no logic.
No, Notre Dame had better losses, I think.
Maggie just said about the conference championships game? None of this makes sense.
No, there was no logic in how they ranked them throughout the season.
Yes.
That I agree with.
That,
there
okay.
was 100% logic in why Miami got picked over Notre Dame. If
yes.
you don't see that, then you're just blind. I mean...
Well, right, but Ray was saying this peak theory.
Right, I mean, it does seem like, for some reason, to Ray's point, though, bad losses didn't crush teams the way maybe it has in the past. Because
except for Texas.
Right, except for Texas, but they had three losses, so that's a little different. But I think Miami had quote-unquote bad losses. They weren't that bad. But to average ACC teams, and Alabama had this loss to a terrible ACC team. But the committee looked at, well, you had this big win against Notre Dame. Alabama, you had this big win against Georgia. And sorry, BYU, you didn't beat anybody. Sorry, yeah. Notre Dame, you didn't beat anybody. So therefore, you go home. I think there is some correlation to that. Those teams, even though they have no bad losses, they just didn't have any, they didn't beat anybody good enough to really warrant a spot in the field. And I understand that.
And I'm telling you, all of this distraction with Notre Dame over Miami over Notre Dame, pardon me, Notre Dame getting left out, which is stunning by the committee, just on brand alone, which we know matters, Pearl. I'm just shocked that Notre Dame is not in this field. James Madison getting in, Tulane getting in, all Alabama getting in. All of this stuff is really just distracting us from the fact that Oregon now has a path. Which to me is crazy. They're the fifth-ranked team with a home game against JMU, and then they are not in the side of the bracket with Georgia or Ohio State.
Well, yeah, but even so, they have a path, but they would eventually play Georgia or Ohio State.
In the championship game? I mean, that's pretty awesome to make it all the way there.
Well, okay, maybe. But the thing is, are they a good enough team to even get there? I think Texas Tech should not be taken lightly.
No, they're not.
They've kind of got a little pro team going on there. Their quarterback is... I don't totally trust. I don't trust them to stay healthy for a game, by the way. But their backup can win games, too. I think that's going to be a great, great game. First round stinks. Well, I'm so excited for the second round.
The only reason why I'm saying I think that, you know, I think every team who has a bye is vulnerable. You know, as we saw last year, it's sitting home, but getting rusty did not help any of these teams. Now, we'll see if that was a one-year anomaly. But you get the home games in the first round. By the time you get to the second round, we're in the Orange Bowl. We're in the Cotton Bowl. We're already in the neutral site. Takes a lot of the flavor away.
What were those second? We actually, I don't have them in front of me. What were those actual second round? The first team buys last year, were they all that good, though?
Well, Oregon was number one, and they got destroyed by Ohio State.
Yeah, but that was the second time they had to play Ohio State. And they won that first game in the last second play where Will Howard slid at the wrong time.
Yeah.
That's a hard assignment.
Bro, it wasn't even competitive. That game was totally competitive, by the way. In the first quarter.
Dylan Gabriel threw for like 400 yards. Ohio State hit him in the mouth, and Oregon came back too slowly.
Notre Dame beat Georgia in a game where Georgia's offense did nothing. This was Gunnar Stockton. I think his first start.
Yeah.
So if you want to maybe explain that away, you could. But Gunnar Stockton had a great year this year. So, and then you had one of the close games. The only game Mackey's mentioning was the Arizona State Texas game where Arizona State came back and Cam Scadaboo essentially had his origin story revealed to the national.
But Arizona State was the underdog in that game, so that was not surprising. I mean, they were
but it was close. I mean,
they were there because they were a conference champ. They were not a top 10 team even.
So should the teams with buys find a way to get a home game built in and kind of get the bowl games out of the equation?
I'd be saying my argument would be you're having very, very small sample size with just 1 year of this. And they're probably the only year of it, by the way, because next year is going to be different.
There'll
be 2 years of this system and then maybe a different system next year. We have no idea. I would expect Ohio State and Indiana to do well in this tournament.
Let's go to Jim, who's in South Carolina. Jim, you're a big Notre Dame fan, right?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, first of all, I just want to say that I have already congratulated EJ. Their Hurricanes do well. This has nothing to do with Miami. There is a new shirt out that will replace the Catholics versus Convicts infamous shirt. It now says Catholics versus Common Sense. And I think that fits this entire scenario. It makes zero sense why, again, the committee would put in a Tulane and a James Madison, get no eyes on those games so that they get trucked. It's just incredible that we're saying we're going to put in the top 12 teams, but then we put in two teams that are absolutely just get run out of the stadium.
Yeah, well, that's a function of the format, you know, like they didn't want to do the highest ranked conference champions because that just backfired. But Jim, I like the idea of Catholics versus Common Sense. But the only thing is most people using Common Sense felt like Miami should have been over Notre Dame this whole time because they beat them head to head.
Well, and I wouldn't disagree with that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Common Sense didn't rule. I want to read you a short little something that Brady Quinn put out. He said, so folks at ESPN are upset that Notre Dame isn't playing in a bowl game after weeks of folks politicking against the lack of conference affiliation, using them as a pawn for the college football playoff selection show, having the ACC network play the Miami-Notre Dame game on repeat 48 hours during the conference championship week. But now it's a bad look. They don't want to serve ESPN's best interest by playing in an exhibition bowl game? Got it.
Yeah, Brady, I know.
Ooh. Yeah, and Brady Quinn runs their NIL, doesn't he? I think he I think he runs Notre Dame. Jim, thank you so much for weighing in, and sorry how the season ended for your Fighting Irish.
I love the TV angle that the networks, because obviously Notre Dame is run by a former NBC executive, Pete Bevacqua, who actually I worked for slightly a little bit. Yeah, it's definitely, I think the TV has a big role in this. I cannot believe, if you're going to go conspiracy, that's where I would start. The halls of Disney
right.
versus the halls of NBC versus Fox. Oh, it's all good stuff.
Right. So, yeah, so Brady Quinn is saying that on the ACC network this whole week, they were replaying Miami's win over Notre Dame to try to, what, sway the committee that Miami should be in.
Yeah.
Miami should have always been ranked over Notre Dame. See, that's the problem. You just got to rewind all of this and undo.
It did feel that way. I don't remember everybody saying that when Notre Dame was winning every game by 40 about a month ago.
No, a lot of people were saying it.
I've been complaining for about a month.
Really? I feel like, you know, when Notre Dame was like 7 and Miami was 15 or something, I did not hear this. See, then all of a sudden my entire Twitter feed became, oh, Miami should be ahead of Notre Dame. After about, well, who were the two losses, SMU and Louisville? Yeah. After the Louisville loss, like everyone was like, oh my God, didn't Beck throw four?
That was the first CFP ranking when Miami was 18 and Notre Dame was 10. But I think the problem was people assumed Miami was going to lose more games. So, oh, I guess they're not that good. When it turned out they just had issues with the thing.
All right, we got to take a quick break. Brett McMurphy is going to join us from On3 in just a moment. We'll get his thoughts on what was the most egregious mistake that the College Football Playoff Committee made yesterday. 888-710-4ISN. It's Maggie Perloff.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Got a lot of reasons to be upset with the College Football Playoff Committee. Well, everyone but EJ, who's in his Sean Taylor jersey this morning, smiling from ear to ear. Let's get to Brett McMurphy, who covers college football as an insider for On3 Sports, and he joins us from the airport because he's always working. Good morning, Brett. How are you?
Good morning, Maggie. Good to talk to you guys again.
Thanks so much for doing this. So if you had one gripe, the biggest gripe with the College Football Playoff Committee, what is it?
Wow, how long is this show? the biggest gripe is that they don't consider like head-to-head until the very end. That's asinine. Like, you know, I could go a different ways. This team wasn't rated properly. This team was misjudged, whatever. You can argue both sides of that. That's always going to happen. I've said that for 11 years since they started the committee. It is a beauty pageant. We all three can sit and watch a beauty pageant, a talent show, any kind of competition where you can judge something, and we can all have three different opinions. It doesn't mean we're right. It doesn't mean we're wrong. What is wrong is that the committee purposely would not value Miami and head-to-head and Notre Dame equally or head-to-head until they got to the end where, quote, they were side-to-side, and then they could compare them that way. I vote in the AP poll every week. I don't sit there and say, well, you know, I've got these teams are three spots apart, so I can't judge them. That's asinine. And the other thing is, and Notre Dame's athletic director brought this up, I've said this for several years too, when people freak out about all these ranking shows, they're meaningless. They do not matter until the final one. But the problem is you get built up into thinking teams are safe or teams are in certain spots because of the buildup and all these rankings, when it's all a facade. It's just, it's all meaningless. They start over from scratch every week. They make that very clear to us. So why do they have all these ranking shows to you know, break down football film and all this stuff? No, it's because they're under contract with ESPN, and they have to do these shows every week.
Eddie, do you have a problem with Alabama not playing well in the SEC title game and still being in the field, Brett?
Not at all, because if – and it's not – you could have prefaced that with any school. It's not like, oh, I think Alabama needs to be in. I think because, very simply – if you look at it this way, if Texas A&M would have beat Texas, Alabama would not have even played Georgia in the SEC title game. So then Alabama's safely in the playoff field in that scenario. So because Texas A&M lost to Texas, now Alabama plays an additional game, and now they lose to a team that they already beat. So should they tumble in the ratings? I don't think so. I'm sure a lot of people disagree. You know, they didn't look that great, you know, but people have bad game. I mean, again, you can argue both sides of it, but ultimately, no, I don't have a problem with that. I think, you know, in the very near future, these conferences are going to look at conference championship games. You know, the Big Ten's trying to push play-in games where instead of having one, you know, one versus two in the conference, they'll have four versus five or five versus six, and the winner of that game will improve their chance to get in the playoff or maybe get an automatic qualifying bid, depending on what this thing looks down the road.
Brett McMurphy is joining us on 3 Sports. We're talking about the College Football Playoff bracket, which is now set. Yeah, Brett, as far as Alabama, I just have a problem with every other team that lost a conference championship game dropped even a little bit, including Ohio State and definitely BYU, and yet Alabama did not drop at all. And it just feels like college football has a conference championship problem. They have not figured this out in a perfect way of how to use these conference championships as a tool. I know they make a lot of money, so they don't want to turn their backs on them completely, but it just feels like it is not uniform yet. I also want to take the conversation to the two group of five teams that are in, James Madison and Tulane, Pearl, both in this 12 bracket. Brett, do you give either team a shot to win a game as a huge underdog?
No, I don't. And, you know, but look, this is the playoff that the commissioners, they devise, the automatic bids to the five highest ranked conferences. So is it James Madison's fault that the ACC doesn't have a conference champion that ranks above them? No. So everybody can slam James Madison shouldn't be in this playoff. Yeah, if we're going by the best 12 teams, if we're going by the best 16 teams, they're not in the playoff, but they are. But no, I don't give them a chance. This isn't college basketball. You can't have a Cinderella run. It's just a different sport. Enjoy your stay, your trip to Eugene. I don't see them pulling off the upset.
So, Brett, what impact do you expect some of the controversy to have this year? Are we looking at 16 teams next year, maybe 24? Are they going to I saw you had a tweet that people are done with committees. What's the ramification going to be?
Yes, all of that. The challenge is they've extended the deadline to determine the format for next year's playoff. They've extended that deadline until the day after this year's national title game, late January. Look, they've been talking about this for several years. You know, they've moved mountains in shorter times than they have to figure out what to do with next year's playoff. I would be surprised if they moved that quickly and came up with something that, everyone agrees on. And when I say everyone, I mean the SEC and Big Ten. So if that doesn't happen, we'll just do the same format next year. But then, yeah, after next year, I think, yeah, certainly we'll see 16 teams. You know, there could be other changes. The way they rate teams or value teams. The biggest hang up now is the Big Ten wants automatic qualifiers. They want the top four teams from the Big Ten to automatically get into the playoff, whether those teams rank nationally 1, 2, 3, 4, or whether those teams rank 20, 30, 40, and 70. So the SEC does not want automatic qualifiers. They want the top 12, top 16 teams, flat out, any metric, and they'll take their chances with that. The other conferences, they're kind of along for the ride, and it depends on the SEC and Big Ten. I would just look, anything can happen. Maybe this is the tipping point because of all the upheaval we had. You know, Notre Dame opts out because they didn't get in the playoff. I thought that was garbage. You've got Iowa State and Kansas State teams that had coaching changes. They opted out. They were fined $500,000 each by the Big 12. A bigger thing, which probably people don't care about because everything's about the playoff now, is what's the future of the bowl system? All these stupid little bowls that everybody loves to watch, you know, in December could go away in the very near future. If you've got players that simply are not going to play, or in the case of this year, you've got dozens of coaches that have left their teams to go elsewhere, and now you've got these teams that are in bowl games. I talked to somebody at a school who's in a bowl game. They're trying to round up to make sure they have enough coaches to coach whatever players are left because the staff that went to another job literally is taking everybody with.
Brett, you can't give us the Pop-Tarts Bowl and then just take it away a couple years later. We've become accustomed to a certain lifestyle here, and I agree with you. I think that
Tell Notre Dame that.
I know. Well, that's the tipping point, right? Notre Dame not going to a bowl because that they're not the first people to ever do it, but it's setting off this chain reaction where the bowls were already kind of just supposed to be a little, you know, cherry on top, but now they do seem completely meaningless. And it's also money the athletic departments have to spend where they probably feel like they could be spending that money elsewhere now that you're paying players. Last one from me, and let's just flesh out here what the aftermath is like for Notre Dame, Brett. They're obviously the big headliners after the flip-flop with Miami. Where does Notre Dame go from here, and how much of the sour grapes of them saying no to the bowl, how long of an impact will that have?
Well, I think it'll have an impact. Excuse me. Like anything else, if you're a Notre Dame fan, you support their decision. I'm sure the majority of people do. If you're not a Notre Dame fan, you think it's, you know, why are they doing this? You know, just because they didn't get in the playoff, they're not playing. You know, BYU, they didn't get in the playoff. They're still playing in a bowl game. You mentioned the Pop-Tarts Bowl. That was the bowl bid that Notre Dame had. They would have played BYU. It would have been the highest-ranked bowl, non-playoff bowl, between two teams in the top 13. They decided not to play. You did say, you know, that this has happened before. Actually, Maggie, this has never happened before. A team that was bowl eligible that decided not to play, if we've had teams that have decided to play after the fact because they lost coaches, players, COVID, et cetera. Iowa State, Kansas State, and now Notre Dame are the first teams to ever turn down a bid. Before, it's like getting a bid to the NCAA tournament and then saying, you know what, we're not going to play in it. What happens in the future? I don't know. It's the Big 12 fined both Iowa State and Kansas State. I don't think the ACC will fine Notre Dame because they're in a predicament with Notre Dame. They let them enjoy all the benefits of being a conference member. They give the ACC bowl pool. They're a conference member in basketball and other sports, but they're not a full member. So I don't think they're going to fine him or do anything like that, because then the worst thing is Notre Dame says, okay, fine, then we're going to stop playing ACC teams in football. We'll go do our own thing, or perhaps go to the Big Ten. But I think there will be some real changes. And then I think these, because the players are getting paid now, I think the bowls and the schools will have more, will have simply contracts that designate what happens if you get a bowl bid and you don't participate in a bowl. Is there a financial penalty? So teams or players or coaches can't just simply opt out and not do it. The challenge for all this is it takes a long time to get all this stuff done. And that means it's probably a few years away.
Real quick, Brett, do you think there's any teeth to Steve Sarkisian's threat to cancel Ohio State or maybe even Notre Dame the following 2 years, these early season tough matchups?
If they want to pay $1 million buyout, sure. I think it's sour grapes. I think it's the heat of the moment. I guess similar to Notre Dame pulling out is the heat of the moment, where Sarkisian felt like they didn't get fairly evaluated because they lost that game. If they would have played, Akron and they were 10-2, they would have got in. I don't think that'll happen. Again, I think part of that that will contribute to that is, what's the future of the playoff? What's the playoff look like? How are teams rewarded? Is it simply based on your conference finish? If it is, then you can go 0-3, 0-4 in conference play, and you can still finish in the top 3 or 4 in your conference. You're in the playoff. But if it's the overall record, I understand his viewpoint, but also I would say, don't lose to Florida and you're in the playoff. You're not in the playoff because you lost to Ohio State. You're not in the playoff because you lost to Florida.
Florida almost beat Georgia, too, though.
Almost doesn't count.
I'm just saying, like, Florida is, I think they're misperceived a little bit. I mean, how many healthy Lagway games did you actually get?
That's true, but still, I mean, still, come on. It's a Florida team that, they had their moments, but they also lost by 31 to Kentucky. They lost to Miami. You thumped by Miami. They lost to LSU. They lost to USF. It'd be quicker to name the teams they actually beat, which is only 4.
Brett, we'll leave it right there. You're talking to a big Texas fan sitting next to me. Thank you so much for doing this. Love reading you on 3, and safe travels this morning. Thanks for being flexible.
Enjoy the Citrus Bowl in Disney World.
Oh, have fun. Man, take us with you. What I was thinking of with a team that says no to a bowl game, it was the non-bowl eligible teams. Other 5-win teams have said no before this, but this was the first time that bowl eligible teams have said no to bowl games. Pearl, it's over.
I thought Notre Dame said no way back in the day. Am I imagining that, or have they thought about saying no?
Maybe they ultimately changed their mind. I know we've seen some teams no-show bowl games, like Florida State a couple of years ago when they got they got snubbed out of the 4-team college football playoff and had to play Georgia. They might as well have not shown up to that bowl game. I think they lost like 56-10 or something. But here's the other part about the bowl games. Brett was saying you could write it into the contracts for the NIL contracts, like you have to play in a bowl game to get your money. Mm-hmm. But so many guys opt out of bowl games just for the NFL draft purposes. Do you think you could get that language into a contract? I don't know.
I already talked about the Citrus Bowl. That's where my Longhorns are going, which I think has ramifications because they're actually going to that game and Arch is playing. That means Sark's staying and Arch is staying. So whatever happened to all that?
I think Marcus Freeman is now maybe the name to watch. Now, I don't know if he'd ever leave Notre Dame. Well, not ever. I mean, he's a young guy. But they're not playing in the bowl game. There were rumors about Freeman and the Giants that have always, the New York Giants, has always kind of been floating around. Now you just got snubbed by the committee.
I feel like he's got a pretty good quarterback to leave. I would not leave that guy. Yeah. CJ Garth looks...
Well, you could have Jackson Dart in the pros.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Notre Dame... What, did they have the number one recruiting class too again or something?
No, USC did.
Or did Notre Dame have a killer recruiting class again? They did very well. He's really done a nice job in Notre Dame. He's just got to get the schedule worked out.
Let's get to Bogus, who's got the latest headlines. What's up, dude?
Guys, these headlines sponsored by Progressive Insurance. The annual Progressive Keys to Progress program provides vehicles to deserving veterans, helping our heroes drive their lives forward. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. For the first time this season, the Houston Texans in a playoff spot.
Hand off Dare, trying to dance between the tackles, taking it across the goal line. Touchdown, Houston. 5-yard run.
Dare Ogunbowale.
Mark Vandermeer on Texans Radio. Dare Ogunbowale with the tie-breaking points mid-fourth quarter after Houston saw a 10-0 halftime lead disappeared Arrowhead on Sunday Night Football. The Texans winning 20-10, extending their win streak to 5. DeMeco Ryan's defense picked off Patrick Mahomes 3 times and stopped his offense twice on fourth down in the fourth quarter.
This is a great offense. They've done a great job for a long time, but it was all about the situational football. Plays we made on third down, getting stops, fourth down, being able to get stops there to put us in range to score some points.
And now they sit in the last wild card spot this morning, winning a tie with the Colts, who lost in Jacksonville in more ways than one yesterday afternoon. Daniel Jones, a suspected torn Achilles in a 36-19 final. Here's head coach Shane Steichen.
Anytime you lose a guy that puts in so much work and so much effort and is always there for his team and is showing up with a fibula injury and goes out there and freaking plays, just so much respect for him. Just so much respect.
The Jaguars, meanwhile, on a 4-game win streak to lead the AFC South by 1 game. The NFC South is its normal self, getting ready to spit out a mediocre team into the postseason. The Bucs falling into a tie for first with the idle Panthers by losing for the fourth time in 5 games, this time 24-20 at home to the Saints.
What the f*** is
going on, Baker Mayfield?
Just too many mistakes. Conditions aren't an excuse because they had to play them too. So none of that matters. Just a matter of making the plays and plays that guys have made a bunch of times. Just got to execute.
Yeah, the game was played like the Jaguar game in bad rain and wind and whatever, but you can't lose at home to the Saints.
Well, should we be talking about realignment for the NFL too? And because are we going to have another, 8-9 champion out of the NFC South? This happens way too often.
Yes, whenever we get my wish that you can get in by winning a division with a bad record, but don't get to host a playoff game, that's got to be the NFC South clause.
I mean, this was a devastating win for New Orleans, unless they're going with Tyler Shuck.
I think they might.
Which is possible, yeah. But now you're at 3 wins. You're sitting at 5th in the draft. Yeah. I mean, you got to be more committed to the tank. Meanwhile, your Giants,
yep.
Bogish, because of all this winning that Tennessee and New Orleans did, you guys are now in the catbird seat.
I thought the Raiders were. Raiders.
Tankathon is showing me you
guys
are number one.
Yeah, no, you guys are number one.
Oh, I read this morning, I thought on The Athletic, they said the Raiders had the number one pick now, but I'll take it. Let's go.
It looks like strength of schedule is what is helping you.
Okay.
Is it
strength
a tank
of
year,
schedule?
Though? Is it a tank year?
It's always a tank year, baby.
I don't know. I don't even know if a QB goes one.
It's a little too true.
Somebody's going to go one. So either way, they get the best player in the draft, or they can trade back for somebody who falls in love with Mendoza or somebody. Let's go.
I don't know. It's not a normal. I don't think it's a normal year.
So you'd rather be 8? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Well, I mean, I just think that it's not even really worth tanking. It's not going to make a big difference. I don't know if you're going to get a lot of value. It's not normal. Like, next year, you will get 4 first-round picks for that pick.
I just asked EJ, different. Who is the number one pick in the NFL draft? Is this even a good, quote, draft this year?
There's flat out no.
But hold on. There's always demand for quarterbacks.
So I know. Kenny Pickett was the first quarterback at 21 one year.
If cherry picking one year. If Mendoza goes on a run in the college football playoff, mm-hmm. it's possible that mm-hmm. he turns into a valuable commodity.
Well, the problem with this draft, too, for the Giants is that the best players are all, like, edge rushers. So it's like, oh, you want Ruby Vain? That doesn't help. You want Arvell Reese? Mm-hmm. That doesn't help.
Yeah. And I don't know they can take Carnell Tate after taking Malik Neighbors with the rest of that roster. So he's off the table, too.
I mean, you could take him, but
offensive line.
Taking receiver one, this doesn't feel like an offensive line number one draft.
But if you trade back even 2 spots, you could still get the best offensive lineman.
McShay and all those guys are saying it's a weak draft, for what it's worth.
That's fine.
It's early. It is early.
That won't prevent the Raiders from doing something stupid.
Right. And the Giants would pick the year to finally get this right and get the number one pick when there's not a knockout clear guy when they could have had
you.
I get it, but that does not mean they should win out in December.
Yeah.
They still need to have the best possible pick.
Can I just ask you an honest question about the Giants and where they are right now?
Mm.
Say 2 years ago you had gotten the number one pick and not won that meaningless game against the Colts or whatever it was, the Tommy DeVito game. Do you think Caleb Williams is having a great season in New York?
I have no idea.
Yes.
I don't know.
Or they would have picked the wrong guy. You know, if it was CJ Stroud and Bryce Young, like that, like they would have picked the wrong person. So they would have messed it up. But I would have liked them to have the ability to mess it up as opposed to
having Tommy DeVito win a game.
No, I hear you, yeah. But you had, you know, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. Drake May might be the best player, you know, might be the best quarterback from the class.
And they would have picked J.J. McCarthy.
They did take Jackson Dart. You got to be fair to that. They're picking good guys. The Giants' issues are much deeper than draft picks.
One thing about Mendoza, by the way.
It's a lot of issues. It's also draft picks.
You know, we're talking about Fernando Mendoza might be the number one pick. And I like him a lot. But if he goes to the Raiders or the Browns, like, that's a tough spot for a quarterback anyway. Kind of to your point, Maggie, if Caleb Williams is a Giant. So I just don't think there's going to be a lot of excitement at this top of this draft. Like, I feel like Mendoza going to the Raiders, is anybody going to be into that team next year? That feels like a bad spot to be.
I've also never seen a player less represent a team's identity than Fernando Mendoza going to the Raiders.
Yes.
Seriously?
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Doesn't have enough of an edge.
It doesn't feel right.
It'd be like Steve Buscemi in whatchamacallit, your favorite movie, 21 Jump Street.
Oh, yeah.
22 Jump Street, right?
22
Let's Flip and Go.
Yeah, Let's Flip and Go.
Let's Flip and Go is going to the Raiders, the Renegades of the NFL.
Derek Carr wasn't so, well.
Yeah, Carr. You're right.
Had a little bit of an
edge. No, you're absolutely right. Carr was.
He was kind of like a mild to Fernando Mendoza guy.
Yeah, and that didn't work.
Well, he was their quarterback for a decade.
But they have nothing to show for it.
Here's the thing: but they have no receiver, so you're automatically putting a guy like Fernando Mendoza in an impossible situation. You might not even have a coach yet. So anyway, the top of this draft is going to be messy. I just think that everyone's gonna be like, "Wait, what the heck do we do here?" Sorry, Bogues.
Yeah, no, great to check in with you. Happy you're here today.
Thank you. That's where we have to leave it. Folks, thanks so much. Coming up next, we have still not dived fully into the Steelers' win over the Ravens yesterday. We have a lot more to unpack with Caleb Williams and that Bears loss to the Packers. So much to do. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show. And, of course, your phone calls, 888-710-4ISN. Giddy up.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of network busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, reacting to a whole lot of craziness from the weekend. College football playoff bracket is set. A lot of people not happy that Notre Dame got oopsie-dooped. They were ranked ahead of Miami for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then at the 11th hour, all of a sudden the committee flipped them because BYU had the audacity to lose badly to Texas Tech for the second time, which dropped them in the rankings, putting Notre Dame and Miami back-to-back with each other. And finally, the committee said, well, now we have to recognize head-to-head, which Miami beat Notre Dame in the first game of the season earlier this year. Meanwhile, BYU dropped because they lost their conference championship game. Ohio State dropped because they lost their conference championship game. UVA dropped because they lost their conference championship game. Alabama stays exactly where they are despite getting beaten badly by Georgia.
Well, isn't it a little bit of a different dynamic, though? Because Ohio State dropped, but that's because they elevated the conference champion. It's a little bit of a, it feels like a bit of a different dynamic. And UVA did not win their conference title. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. By the way, and BYU does not really deserve to be here. Can we just say that? I know they beat Utah and Arizona State, but do they really? If BYU got in, I think those other SEC teams that didn't get in would be like, we would kill this team. What are we doing here?
Okay, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
Again, they would have not gotten in unless they won their conference, but they were ranked. Like, they were close. They were close in the final.
I thought
rankings.
That ranking was silly that whole time. I thought they were ranked too high in the week-to-week show personally. Because I just didn't think they were as good a team as those other teams.
I guess there's also this idea, and this is why the conference championship games, it's like, what are you doing? Are you getting penalized for losing, or are you not? Like, it's not uniform at all, Pearl, because...
Yeah.
Like, this is now... they not only have they become, it feels like, irrelevant, but... It's screwing other teams over. Like, it's not just irrelevant. It's also can be like dangerous. I don't know.
Yeah, but there are a lot of inconsistencies. Not just that, the whole way the head to head was inconsistent throughout the ratings. That's just one of many inconsistent points to me.
No doubt. George is in LA. Big weekend for George. Got Texas Tech is got the bye. They'll face the winner of Oregon and James Madison. And George, your Rams are on fire. Again.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning, folks. First with Texas Tech real quick. Oregon's going to get a reality check when they get to Lubbock. I don't think they've seen a defensive line quite like this one. Uh-huh. And with the Rams, Stafford, what a redemption. You know, they did something yesterday that ain't been done in 24 years. The greatest show on turf did it with Warner. It was three touchdown passes and three rushing touchdowns for 500 yards. They definitely put a whipping on Arizona. Jimmy G was in the game in the fourth quarter, the entire fourth quarter, because the Rams just finally took the foot off the gas.
George, thank you. We just your phone just cut out there a little bit, but congrats. You know, the Rams now back on top as the team to beat in the NFC, Pearl. I mean, I don't think this game was necessarily an indication. The Packers look really good, and we're going to watch your Philadelphia Eagles tonight against the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, Stafford made some beautiful throws, which was fun to watch. I mean, I love that George went to Texas Tech, right, played there. I agree. That defensive line, I know they're not gonna, some of those guys are not going to last to where my Philadelphia Eagles draft, but I got to tell you right now, David Bailey, sign me up for him right now. That dude looks ready to go NFL-wise. I don't know about their offense at all. It feels like that could come and go.
Well, very much like the Eagles.
Yeah. But Texas Tech, very, very, very talented team. I would argue definitely more NFL talented than, say, Oregon, which is unusual because Oregon usually is loaded with NFL talent.
No doubt. Just one small thing. I know George is kind of being like, hey, when you come to Lubbock, it's going to be a different story. That game's actually going to be at the Orange Bowl, so figure that out. But Oregon gets a home game against James Madison, which, to me, Oregon being the 5 seed, again, I've mentioned it a few times this morning. I don't see how. Like, I don't see how they could warrant being the 5th-ranked team in the country, and now they get to be in a side of the bracket where they would avoid both Ohio State and Georgia.
I mean, there's a, to me, there's a lot of mid between 5 and 10. I mean, you got Oregon, Ole Miss, A&M, you have no idea. Oklahoma, Alabama, And then Miami, I'm excited about.
What's up with Alabama?
Miami, Alabama's been very disappointing, I think. They did not look up for the task at all in the SEC title game. It is funny. And Ole Miss would be a team, if Lane was still there, that we'd be really excited about. But nobody's excited about them. It just feels like the bracket fell in a way. It almost landed with a dud. I mean, this just, that doesn't make any sense. But it generally, like, these are not going to be a lot of exciting matchups to me. It feels some bad luck on the way the bracket. Honestly, the best way that this could all ended up was if Miami and Notre Dame were both in it, because those are two exciting teams.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm still stunned the committee actually left Notre Dame out, you know. And
yeah,
I'm not saying the whole world's a conspiracy and it's all about brand, but a lot.
And it's a good team, too. I mean, they're number one in the ESPN football power. Not number one, but they're very high in the ESPN football power index. Way higher than most of the teams that are in the field. They've been killing teams, and they have the best running back in the country, and Jeremiah Love is fantastic. And a good quarterback. I mean, they could be very good. If they were in that tournament, God, they could win the whole thing.
All right, we will get to all the latest NFL topics as well. 888-710-4ISN. If you want to talk about college football or pro, we got it all for you. We'll do the M&P 500 in the next hour as well. Whose stock is up, whose stock is down after a big weekend. Coming up, we will recap every NFL game from Sunday in 60 seconds or less. M&P.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.